alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlanta Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to the other, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcohol, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Gloria will read the preamble.
Yes, Gloria.
Hi, I'm Gloria and I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholic Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Aviva will read the steps.
Hi, my name is Aviva and I am an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Rob will read the traditions.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Rob. I am an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by an information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Alba.
Good evening. My name is Alba, and I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is January 19, 2007, and my sponsor is Katie C., and Atlantic Group is my home group. I say that because that's very important to me. And, sorry, I'm not that tall. I was thinking about sharing my experiences and what got me here January 19th, and I realized that it wasn't a bottom. You know, it wasn't that day that got me here. I started drinking very late, like, let's say 2021. But I had alcoholism in my family, unbeknownst to me. Last week was 20 years since my father passed away. And I had no idea, until I got sober, that my father was an alcoholic and that my childhood was broken because of his alcoholism. I wish I would have had a chance to know him, because, and I say that because that's very important to me, because alcoholism has destroyed a great part of my life. You know, I am 33 years old, and for 30 somewhat years I lived in insanity and pain, whether it was my own self-inflicted or whether it was done to me. So when I did pick up that drink, I didn't have it wasn't a revolution. You know, as growing up, I was always very driven and it was very positive. I wanted to be in the center of a leadership program and creating clubs, and it was a positive drive. And then when I picked up that alcohol, it became twisted. And that bottom, for me, lasted a good 10 years. I had so many bottoms in so many different places that at times I remember, and it makes my stomach turn, and I'm like, how could somebody ever do that? You know, waking up in prisons with no shoes on, asking for money in different parts of the world, saying, how the hell did I get here? You know, it was that dramatic. That was my 10 years of a bottom. Every time I picked up, it wasn't a glass of wine. You know, I like to think the first real glass that when I started drinking was I went out to dinner. And I would always say, no, 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 cranberry juice. No, 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 just cranberry juice. And there was this bottle of wine, and it was a Corton Charlemagne, and that was poured, and I said, wow, it's white wine. It's not a big deal. It was a big deal because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop with the glass. I had to have a bottle. And then wine wasn't good enough. And of course, I graduated to my vodka insanity. And when everybody went home, I wasn't going home. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, my party was starting. And then that day was over. It wasn't over for me. I just didn't sleep. You know, I look back at that, the mornings I've seen, the dawns I've seen, the life I missed out, you know, my relationships that I've missed out on, and the person that I could have been. Yes, I have those thoughts, you know. And it breaks my heart, you know. It really does, because I could have had those relationships that I blew away. And I guess I'm getting back to my father, because the one memory I have of him is when my mom came to pick me up. He was already getting sick. And I don't have a lot of good memories, unfortunately, but the memory is how he tried to reach me. I was going to the airport, and he ran, and he gave me these box of chocolates. It was like a red box of chocolates. And he said, here, I just wanted you to have this. And that's the one memory I have of my father. You know, alcoholism and alcohol robs beautiful things away. You know, and alcohol robbed me from a lot. But the only thing that saved me was in my last bottle on January 19, 2007, waking up in a mental institution. And, you know, it's not about me telling you these war stories, because trust me, I have the scars to prove them. It's really about we all understand each other, whether you have one day or 20 years. And for me, it's about how I live today. Because when I woke up in that mental institution that I drove by to get here today, 2 years and a little over 2 months ago, I just had no idea what the hell hit me. And I remember really quietly, and I was sober at that point the next day, and I said, God, oh my God, I can't imagine anything being worse than taking away your freedom to walk out that door, to have a fresh, to breathe. And I said in my heart, it was quiet, it wasn't anything loud, because I was so used to bottoms at this point, and self-abuse and self-mutilation and self-degradation, and I could go on with the selves and selves and selves. It was nothing pretty. And I said, you know what, if I have a chance, I want a chance. Not because I just felt like I never lived. You know, I felt like, please give me a chance to live. And since that day, I did not pick up a drink. Because I know one thing very, very, I'm not confused here. This is not a game. I probably would not be here and be alive if I continued drinking. There's no doubt in my mind. What Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me, I didn't know how to live with myself and with people and with my feelings. It's a manuscript for living. And you know, I understand that it could be confusing. And it was for me when I was here in 90 days, back on that seat, and I raised my hand and I said, I have 90 days, and I didn't even know why I was here, but I was here. The one thing that I have today in my life is that when things come up, I can understand why they come up. And I believe that I make the best choices. And it doesn't happen overnight. I had so much recovery to do that only recently that I really formed a relationship with God. My God. And because of that freedom is like, I don't carry those burdens. The burdens like, oh my God, I got to be there. I got to go there. I got to do this. My relationship with my God is absolute trust. If I am here today, it's because I am here today. I wake up, I brush my teeth, I comb my hair, I call my sponsor, I call my mother. I live in my life, in reality, I pay my bills. You know, I don't lash out, I don't act like an animal towards other people who I have no right to judge. How dare you? You know, and it seems to be so, it's such a simple way, but for me, I just didn't know how. For those people in here today, especially those people that showed up like me new, it actually does work, and you actually have a way. What this has done for me is simply allowed me to live in my life. And the one thing I know for sure is my life is only going to get better. And all I have to do is trust the people in this room, your sponsors, trust people that have been there and done that. Really. Call your sponsor. The steps, it actually works. You know that? You know, and it's like, does this work? Yes, it works. Yes, you will be taken care of. Yes, you do not have to live in pain anymore. And I'm only talking not because I have a PhD on this thing, but I tell you, it's because of my own pain that I was gonna die. You know, it's dramatic to me because it was my life. So today, I have a very good life, and I'm very happy. Thank you to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Scott.
Hello, my name is Scott. I'm an alcoholic. Beautiful bunch. I'll start the same way as Albert did. Thank you very much. That was really great. And my sobriety date is November 3rd, 2007. My sponsor's name is Derek G. And my home group is the Atlantic Group. I got 10 minutes, so I'm not going to say too much about my story because I drank for 20 years, and I wouldn't even scratch the surface. But I will tell you this, that my first drunk, I was in junior high school, and first I remember anyway, I blacked out. I went to a pre-prom party with a bunch of my friends, my friend's sister was going to the prom, so her parents bought like cases and cases of champagne. All I remember really is showing up, like chugging bottles of champagne, and then falling in a hot tub and waking up in a basement with a puddle of vomit next to me. That's all I remember of the whole night. I went back there a week later and went in the basement, and the vomit was still on the carpet. And I literally could like peel it off in one piece and just hit it, you know. And that was what my drinking was like, you know, just like cover it up. No one's going to see what happened. It's all good. Nothing happened here, you know. And 20 years, you know. So let's fast forward now 20 years. I'm living with this woman who I believe to be like a gift from God that I finally found the one. And we're partying like rock stars, right? So, like, all I know is I woke up in the hallway with my bags packed. And I had no idea how I got there. Blacked out again. And apparently, I went off on her verbally. And I said, well, how did my bags get packed? She's like, you packed them. You're out of here. And I had no idea. You know, it's just she was done with me. And I was... It was over. I was just like so depressed, so sad. How did my life get to this? And I'm skipping a lot. Trust me, 20 years worth of stuff. two DUIs, 7 days in jail, you know. I mean, I could spend hours, but I won't. So that night, it was over. You know, I lost the love of my life. What do? I go to work, miserable. As soon as I get out of work, I go to the bar, I get wasted, I go home, I pass out. I think I urinated on myself, like I got woken up, but I actually had spilt the Jim Beam that was in my hand because I had passed out, and I was just so broken at that point. I called up my cousin, and I said, and I had tried AA once before, it didn't work, and I'll tell you real quickly, it was because I had partied too hard. My sister wanted to take my other sister, who was sick, to the doctor. She was very sick, and I couldn't do it because I was too sick from partying to take my sister to the doctor. So I'd given up then, and I'll tell you, that didn't even work. I kept on partying. So that morning, I was done. I called my cousin, can you drive me to my girlfriend's house to get my stuff? He's like, if you don't get to an AA meeting, I'm going to come there and drag you to one. So I went. And from that moment on, I went. I went every day. I did 90 and 90. And it sucked at first. I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to tell you, like, there's three stages of God that I've come to realize that helped me find my God as I understand him now. And first, it was the gift of desperation. G-O-D, gift of desperation. Second, it was being in a room, a group of drunks, going to AA meetings and identifying with that group of drunks. Third was good orderly direction, okay? Taking direction from my sponsor, from people in the rooms who have experience. So those G-O-D acronyms helped me find the power greater than myself that I understand today. And I'll tell you what, I was never a God guy. Like, I was brought up in a household like, God's going to punish you if you don't do this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, who needs him then, you know? But I tell you now, like, I'm going to tell you, God gets me through every single day now. Like, there's no, I mean, when all else fails, I've got that relationship. And it's just an incredible thing. And it took a lot of work to get there. You know, I've worked the steps. My sponsor's amazing. I call him every single day. And, you know, when it comes to faith, you know, I was listening to Joe and Charlie, and they have a great analogy. They talk about Christopher Columbus and the formula for change. And it comes down to four things, okay? First, you got to be willing. And they talk about Columbus. Second, you got to believe. Third, you got to make a decision. And fourth, you got to take action, right? So Christopher Columbus, he decides he's going to find a better trade route to the East Indies or the West Indies. And he's, you know, he's willing to take this on. It's a lot. And then, you know, but secondly, he's got to believe that the earth is round. Because if it's flat, he's going right off of it, right? Thirdly, he makes a decision that, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the money. I'm going to build the boats. I'm going to get the provisions. I'm going to hire the personnel. We're going to do this thing. But even with that decision, he's still standing on the shore. He hasn't done, you know, he hasn't gone anywhere yet. He has to take action, get on the boat, and start sailing, right? That's how things happen. And they say on the first trip, he had some guy standing up on a post with a lantern just in case the earth was flat. You know, they can turn back around, you know, in time. So they didn't quite have the faith yet, right? But through the actions, they got there, they found land. Yes, you know, it's here, we were right, boom, boom, boom. They were supposed to get all these jewels and stuff, they never got, they came back. The queen's like, where's my stuff? He's like, I tell you what, if you pay for me, I'll go back. So she does, he goes back, but this time, no guy with a lantern. Because they had that faith. They knew that they weren't going to go off the edge. I know I'm going to be taken care of. Because I have found that faith through taking the actions of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's an amazing thing. So if you're here and you're a little overwhelmed by this huge group of people, I'm going to tell you, man, there is so much love in this room. It's unbelievable. And if you start coming and just people start seeing your face, start reaching out hands, maybe get a service commitment, just talk to people, get phone numbers. It'll get smaller and smaller. You'll start recognizing people. People will start recognizing you. You'll see the smiles. You'll start smiling. You know, there'll be things to do, places to go, you know, and you'll start feeling pretty good about yourself. You're like, wow, I don't need to drink and be miserable all the time. I can hang out with these happy people, you know? But you gotta do work. Every single day, you've gotta do work. And you start feeling peace, right? Now, what is peace? You know, I have this sticker, it's a magnet on my refrigerator that says, peace is not just like sitting up on a mountaintop all by yourself with no noise, no sounds, no people. Because I'll tell you what, I've been on a lot of mountaintops, but guess who's on that mountaintop? This guy right here. And Grand Central Station is going on inside the head. So, like, peace is being able to find that serenity among the chaos. And again, how do you achieve that? The work. You got to get to the bottom of things. That's through the 12 steps. I was talking with Scott, this other Scott, that we were at the Big Book meeting. Yeah, I was talking to myself. I do that a lot. But no, really, there is another Scott. And we were talking at the Big Book meeting not too long ago. And we were talking about how fear, everything comes from fear, right? And in the beginning, like fear, when I was a kid, it was like fear is like a little snowflake. It's this pure, genuine thing. No big deal. Just a little bit of fear. It's healthy, right? But what does that do? I mean, it's steamrolled. It starts like trickling down the mountain, and it starts building momentum. And now it's this huge snowball, and it's out of control. You can't stop it. People are jumping out of the way, and it becomes this avalanche, and it just like takes out everything in its path. It destroys everything, and boom, now you're stuck underneath this huge, huge avalanche of snow. And you've got this pocket of air, and it's like your second chance, and all you got to do is just start digging, digging, digging. And you got all of us on the top of that snowbank, digging, 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 and reaching their hand out. And all you got to do is do your part, and we'll pull you out. But you just got to do your part. So if you're new, come get a sponsor, get phone numbers, put out your hand, and just get to know people. Make the effort. It's really, really worth it. My life is amazing today. Amazing. I've met so many cool people. I do so many cool things. And it's just a matter of doing the work on a daily basis. Thank you very much.